Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Tes. We are at the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Ches Amad Beis, four lines from the bottom. It says in the Mishnah, Moina Adam, one may call out, one may list, as Urchav, his guest list, as Parosav, or the list of his delicacies that is going to serve his guests, basically the menu. So you can call this out, you can read it, mipiv, verbally, avaloi minaksav, but you cannot read it out of a list. Mefes adam in bonav v'bnei beis al shulchan. One may conduct lotteries amongst the members of his household to go ahead and distribute through the lotteries the portions of food. Ubavad shleiskaven, provided that he doesn't have any intention, lasos monik doilo keneged monik tanam. All the portions are even portions. He cannot go ahead and distribute portions which are uneven. There's a monik doilo, a large portion for one person, and a monik tanah for the other. I want to explain the background of all these halachas. Finally, says the Mishnah, matilin chaloshim malakotchim. They may go ahead and conduct these lotteries to distribute the portions of the kachim of the karbanis to the kohanim b'yomtiv, avaloi al manis, but not on manis. Manis means portions. The Gemara explains, referring to distributing the portions of the karbanis which were already brought before yomtiv, when they had a chance to do it prior to yomtiv. Therefore, they cannot conduct this procedure regarding those karbanis. It could only be done to the karbanis of yomtiv itself. The Gemara will go into this. Let's see Rashi. 10 lines from the bottom, beginning with the words Masnisen. Paparoisov, this is the list of his delicacies, meaning Ma'adanim. Avaloi Minaksav. So you can read these things simply Minhapeh, verbally, but not out of a written list. Imkosav Merer Shabbos, if he had written before Shabbos, Kach Vakach Urchim, these are so many guests, Ploini, Ploini Zimanti, this and this person I have invited. So you can't read this. Why did he write it? Kadesh al Yishkechem, so he doesn't forget them. Lo yikra bo'isek sabbath Shabbos. He may not read that list on Shabbos. Uba Gemara farash time, but the Gemara give us the reason. The Mishnah continued regarding allocating the portions of food to the members of his household using a lottery. Mephis says Rashi Loshon pious. It's a term relating to lottery. Matil pious. He throws a lottery lechelik mimagia kol manam mana to ascertain each portion, who it belongs to. Ubavashle iskavan lasois, sheyu amone shavos. All portions must be even. Veloite achas gedoy levachas katana. And they shouldn't be uneven, with one being larger than the other. Lisgois begdoyla, azrecha pial gerl. That the one who wins the lottery to win the larger portion will get the larger portion. The one that loses out through the lottery to get the small portion will only receive a smaller portion. That can't be done. The Gemara gives us the reason for this. The Mishnah concluded regarding karbonis, which they would distribute using these gairolis, chaloshim is gairolis, ala kochim, Bein HaKohanim, to distribute and allot the portions of the karbonis amongst the Kohanim. Avaloi al amonis, b'gemara mefarish. Continues the Gemara. And Daf Kufam Tes Amar Aleph on top. So the Mishnah began, one can read his guest list, he can read his menu. Make sure, don't do it from a written list. My time, why not? Ravivi Omar Gezer Shem Yimchik. There's a concern that he might go and erase some information from that list. Reading from a list might lead him to go ahead and read shtari adyotis, his business documents, which one may not read on Shabbos. Might be nayu. Is there any difference between these two approaches? Is there any halachic ramification? The difference is the kasav akoisel umidli, that he wrote the list up on a wall umidli. It's suspended high up in the air. It's inaccessible to him right now. He's not going to come to erase it. By the time he climbs up there to erase it, he's going to remember that it's Shabbos. So Lamanda, Amar, according to the view that the concern is Shema Yimchaik, that he might erase some information, Loi Chashin, in this case, no concern because it's high up in the air. Lamanda, Amar, however, according to the other view, Shema Yikra, this might lead him to read documents, even in this case, Chashin, and we're concerned, therefore he should not read from that written list, even high up on the wall. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. On the top of the Amud, beginning of the words Gemara, my timer. Why? Why Avaloi ben Aksav? Why cannot read from a written list? Shema Yimchaik min Ha'orchan. He might go and erase from those guests. Why? Sheyirish Leheichen Lem Kol Tzorcham. He realizes that, look, I didn't prepare properly, adequately for all those guests. V'yischari Shazim and Yosef and Aroi, who have regrets that he invited too many guests. V'yimchaik min Aksav. And this will lead him to erase from that list, Kadei Shalayikur Mashamish, so the servant doesn't invite them to the meal. Continues the Gemara with the other reason of Ishtore Diotis, explains Rashi Kolhani. Shemayikur Ishtore Diotis, whenever we speak about a concern that a person might be led into reading Ishtore Diotis, documents of lay people, what that means is, Shalmeke Chomemke Ka'amar means business documents. The Gemara says the difference is between the two approaches. In the case of the Kasav Minyana, he wrote the list up Akoisla on a wall b'joy using ink, in which case technically it can be erased. However, it's inaccessible. Umidli, it's up high in the air. She'ena Megil Sham Limchaik. He doesn't reach there to erase it, and therefore there's no concern that he's going to be tempted to erase. So according to this view, it's mutter. According to the other approach, the concern is this might lead him to read business documents, even if it's up high in the air, he may not do so on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Ulman do Omar, Shema Yimchak. Now, according to the view that the concern is that he might erase, fine. So if it's high up on the wall, he won't come to erase. But what about the other concern? Necha Shema Yikra. Why aren't we concerned that this might lead him to read Shtari Hediotis? That's number one. Number two, Vesu, in addition, is that the case? That when something is high up in the air, we don't apply a gzera on concern of erasure? Meaning, even though practically speaking it's difficult, and the concern doesn't really apply, but we do find that the Chachamim generally applied their concerns and their isurim in very broad terms and didn't necessarily differentiate between specific circumstances and practicalities. They wanted to avoid confusion and all kinds of mistakes, and therefore they broadly applied the exeris. So even in the case where, practically speaking, there is no real concern that he's going to erase it, nevertheless, the Chachamim seem to have applied the exer even in this case. So even according to the view that the concern is erasure, even when it's high up on the wall, we should apply that iser. Again, says the Gemara Vesu, in addition, we're not concerned about erasing, about Tnan, there's a Gersa about Tnan, we learned in the Mishnah. A person on Shabbos should not read in front of a lamp for concern that he might tip the lamp, so when the oil burns down till almost the bottom, and he sees a flame about to go out, he's going to tip it, so the old and the lamp need to be tipped towards the end of its burning so that the oil would get closer to the will level off closer to the wick area, to the flame, and keep it going. So this is a concern of Shemayata, which is a Malach on Shabbos. Therefore, you should refrain from reading in front of a lamp. V'omar Rabba, afilu gavoya shtei koimois. Even in the case where it appears that there's no concern of him reaching out to tip that lamp, even if it's high up, gavoya shtei koimois. So koima is the height of a person. Even if it's high up, at a height of a double height of a person, afilu gavoya shtei mardois, double height of a mardei. A mardei is this rod used to drive the animals, so it's very high up, the double the height of this mardei. Afilu asur batim, zeagabas, even if it's 10 stories high, lo yikro, should not read. Apparently, the chachamim, when they applied the gzera, they didn't differentiate, and it wasn't dependent on the specific practicality of each individual situation. Says the Gemara, okay, so we have to look for another nafgamina between the two reasons why one may not read from a written list on Shabbos. Ella, rather, ike binayu, the difference would be the difference between the approach of Shema Yimchaik and the approach of Shema Yikro B'shtar Adyotis is as follows. The cost of Akos Lo Mitzi, it was written, he wrote his list on a wall, Umitzi, and it's low down, it's accessible. Laman de Omar, according to the view that holds that the reason for the Isser is Shema Yimchaik, we're concerned that he might erase. Chayshina, in this case, we're concerned that he might erase. Laman de Omar, according to the other approach, at the concern of Shema Yikra, he might go ahead and read the business documents on Shabbos. Le Chayshina, In this case, we're not concerned. Why? Because it's written on a wall. Guda, something written on a wall. Bishtara was something written in a document. Loi michlef, a wall and a piece of paper, a piece of parchment, is not something which is interchangeable. So even if he can read off a wall, this will not lead him to read a document. So going to that approach, it would be mutter in a case of a list written on a wall. Says the Gemara, 1 second. What about in the reverse? Uleman d'omar sham yikra. According to the view that the concern is that he might go ahead and read documents. So you say a wall is very dissimilar to the shtar, and there's no concern of one leading to the next. But what about the other concern? Lechush sham yimchik. Why doesn't Abaye concern himself with the gzera, with the concern of mechika? He's going to go erase something on that wall. Ella says, rather, you know what the nafkamina here is, you know what the halach gramification between both approaches will be, as follows. The chayik, he engraved his list, a tavla, on a board, van pinkas, or on a pad. This pad was the thing filled with wax, which they would engrave in the wax. So it wasn't written, rather it was engraved. L'man da'omer shem yimchayk, according to Rabbevi, who holds that the gzeira is, the concern is, perhaps he's going to erase. In this case, we're not concerned. Why? Because erasing something which was engraved is an extensive activity. By the time he gets around to it, he's going to realize that it's Shabbos. He won't come to do it. So there's no concern of reading a guest list or a menu off this engraved board or pad. However, according to Abaye, who maintains that the concern is that this might lead him to read the Shtorei Hedyotis. In the case of a pad or a board, we are concerned, this might lead to that. Therefore, it would be awesome. Says the Gemara, now we're going to go back. According to the Shita, that the concern is about erasing, we are in the case of a tablet or a pad, he's not going to do that. Okay, he took care of erasing. But why aren't we concerned about this leading him to read documents? Perhaps you'll say, tavlo pinkas, a board or a pad, b'shtori lemichlof, is not confused with stories, with documents. So, if we allow him to read off the tablet, this won't lead him to read a business document. V'atanya, says the Gemara, but we learnt in a braisa, moina adam kama mibifnim. One may read his guests, how many he's going to place inside in a more respectable area. So he can read the names of the people he's going to seat over there, v'kam b'chutz, and who he's going to seat in the exterior zone, the less respected people, v'kam monos osel nechofneim, and how many servings, how many dishes he's going to serve them, he's going to place before them. So you can read these lists, from a list which is written on a wall, but you can't read it from this list which is recorded on a tavla, on this board, or pinkas, on this pad. It says, well, let's analyze the brayse that differentiates between a list which is recorded on a wall in contrast to the one recorded on the tablet or board. Hey, chidami, what are we speaking about? Are we speaking where the list was written using ink, which can be erased? If so, what difference does it make if this list was recorded on the wall where it can be erased, or on a tablet or on a pad where that ink can be erased? This is a concern of Shema Yimchaik. Why do we differentiate between one case and the other? El Alav, apparently we're speaking of the Chayik, that it was engraved. In which case, there's no concern of Mechik, as we discussed earlier, because disrupting something which was engraved is a more extensive activity, in which case a person won't come to do it on Shabbos. By the time he gets around to it, he will recall that it's Shabbos. So there's no concern of Mechika here. What is left? A concern that this might lead him to read business documents. And we see clearly that the Braisa says, well, you can only read it off the wall because a wall is so dissimilar to a document. Uktani miktav mechsav shal gabi akoisel. One can read off a wall. Avaloi mechsav shal gabi tavla pinkas. We cannot read it off the tablet or this pad. So we see that indeed a pad and a tablet is considered to be similar enough to ordinary business documents. Allowing this will lead to reading that. So how do you explain why you would allow reading off a tablet or pad on Shabbos? What about the concern that it might lead to reading business documents? Says Ella, rather, let's go back to what we said earlier. Our first proposal, we were looking for an afkamina, a difference, a halachic ramification between both approaches. Rav Bibi's approach, that the concern of the Mishnah is, don't read from something written because you might erase, as opposed to Abaye, who proposed a different reason. Exer, he might read business documents. You know what the difference would be? Says the Gemara, Elo, Lo'olam dekasav akos l'midli. Apparently we're speaking that he wrote on a wall high up in the air, inaccessible. In which case, there's no concern about shtori hedyotis. Why? Because as we said, a person will differentiate very clearly between something on a wall and something on a paper. A wall and a document are so dissimilar, there's no reason to think that reading one will result in reading the other one. So Abaye, who says that the gzeri is mishim shtori hedyotis, he maintains there's no concern here. It's on a wall, it will not lead him to read documents. As opposed to Rav Bibi, who said the Xeris he might erase. Rav Bibi holds, fine, there's no concern here about documents because it's a wall. Nevertheless, there's a concern that he might erase. Now, what are we speaking? In a case where it's written high up in the air, it's inaccessible. It takes time to climb up there. Nevertheless, Rav Bibi holds that despite the fact that, practically speaking, there's no real concern of erasing, the Chachamim applied the Xera universally. A broad application. They didn't differentiate between scenarios. Even if it's high up and inaccessible, the Chachamim made a loy plug. Don't differentiate. There's an isser, there's a concern of Shema Yimchik. So this is in contrast with Abaye, who although technically, theoretically speaking, agrees that there's a concern of erasing, but he holds, since it's high up in the air, I don't propose a concern here because it's inaccessible. The Chachamim did differentiate between scenarios. If it's not practically a concern, I'm not concerned in this situation. So that's the nafkamina. According to Rav Bibi, he holds the Chachamim broadly applied the Gzeri, even if it's inaccessible, it's written high up on the wall, there's an Isser Shama Yimchik. Whereas Abaye holds, practically speaking, there's no concern of Mechika in this case because it's inaccessible. And regarding Shtori Hedyotis, this won't lead him to read those things because it's a wall. A wall is similar to a document. Let's see the Gemara again. Elo rather the Ulam. Truthfully, he was speaking, the Kasav HaKosh L'Midli, he wrote up on a wall, up high in the air, the Kokashilach. And regarding your original question, the Rabbah, we brought a halacha in the name of Rabbah, regarding reading in front of a lamp, that even when it's impractical, that he will tip it, there is a Gzera, there is a Rabbana. So how can you say that this can be mutter since it's inaccessible? The Rabbah Tanoi, this concept of Rabbah, that the Chacham broadly applied the Gzera, regardless of the individual circumstances, is actually based on the Machlokes Tanoim. In which case, the result will be that Abaye does not hold of this Svara. Abaye concurs with the Shita, that the Chacham are very specific about the application of the Gzeris, and in this case, when the writing is high up and inaccessible, there is no Gzera. So what do we find in the Machlokes Tanoim in this regard? The Sani is willing to advise. Moina Adam es Urchav, one may read the guest list, Vespa Peroisav, and the menu me piv, using his mouth, Avaloi min aksav, but not from something written. Rabbi Acha Matir, miksav shal gabi akoisel. Rabbi Acha allows reading from something recorded on a wall. Analyzes the Gemara. Hey chidami, what are we speaking? Ilei mediksiv mitasa. Are we speaking where the list is on this wall, low down and accessible to him to erase? Lecha shem yimchaik. Why aren't we concerned that he'll be tempted to erase something? El alav. Apparently, we're speaking the kasavu midli. He wrote it, and it's high up and inaccessible. And the Tanakhama says, no way, he can't read that ksav, despite the fact that practically speaking, there's no concern of erasure because he holds that Chacham applied the gzera wall to wall. They broadly applied it without differentiating. Whereas Rabbi Acha holds, you can read it, because In this specific case, there's no concern of a mechika. So apparently Rav Acha holds, the Chum did differentiate between one situation and the other, Shmamina. And we hear from this, the Rabba Tanoi Shmamina, the concept which was stated by Rabba, that the Chum universally applied the Xeris is actually based on Mechikas Tanoi Shmamina. Indeed, we hear from here. And in conclusion, that will be the difference between Rav Bivi and Abaye, whether or not the Chacham applied the Xeris universally in a case where, for instance, the list is high up in the air, according to Rabbi Bibi, there is a concern of Mechika there as well, according to Abaye not. Continues the Gemara, we find a similar Machlokes elsewhere, Vahani Tanoi, these Tanoim, who have a disagreement regarding this concept, Kehani Tanoi are compatible with another Machlokes Tanoim, the Sanya, as we learned in the Brice. Ein Royin Bemar B'Shabbos. Women are using a mirror on Shabbos, for concern that perhaps they'll see some loose hair at a place, and will be tempted to trim them. Ramey allows using a mirror which is affixed to the wall. Explains the Gemara. What is the difference between this? Why are you allowing the mirror which is affixed to the wall? Because by the time he gets around to bringing his tools, his scissors, midker, he will recall that it's Shabbos and he won't do the malacha. If so, Shema Kavua Nami. When the mirror is portable and not fixed to the wall, there as well, by the time he gets around to bring his scissors, midker, who remember that it's Shabbos. So why is there a difference between one and the other? Says the Gemara, Hacha, you know what we're speaking about? We're speaking about a metal mirror, in which case the mirror itself can be used as a tool to snip off his loose hair. Ukdarav Nachman Omar Rabba Baravo. As he explained, the Omar of Nachman, Omar Rabba Ravo, Ma Omar, why did the Chacham say, Mar Shomateches, Asura, one may not use a metal mirror on Shabbos, Ipnesha, Odom, Osui, Lahashirba, a person is accustomed to using this mirror, Lahashirba, to snip off, to trim with it, Nimenam Dudon, some loose hair that are out of place. And therefore, the concern is regarding using the actual mirror itself as a snipping tool. So we see very clearly that despite the fact that there's a gzeirah, there's a concern, Ramea says, well, we differentiate where it's practically a concern. For instance, a mobile, a portable mirror, which you can use for a snipping tool, there's a concern. Whereas a mirror which is affixed to the wall, it's kavua b'kaisel, there's no concern there. They want to use it as a scissor. Therefore, we differentiate these situations. As opposed to Tanakam, who says, well, the Chacham applied Gzera universally, we don't differentiate between one case and the other. So in summary, getting back to the Mishnah, which told us one may not read a guest list or a menu list from a written list, the Gemara gave us two reasons. One is he might erase. One is that this might lead him to reading business documents, and the Gemara concluded as follows. When the list is written on a wall, there's a concern about erasing. There's no concern this might lead him to read documents because a wall is so dissimilar to a document. Regarding chakika, when it's engraved in something, in this case there's no concern about erasing, but there is a concern this might lead him to read documents. So for instance, if it was engraved in a pad or a notebook, then this might lead him to read business documents. The Gemara concluded that the nafkamina between Abibi and Abai is as follows. When it's written up on a wall, high up and inaccessible, Abibi says, there's a concern of Shamayim Chayik, but the Chacham did not differentiate between one case and the other. According to Abai, we don't apply the Gzeri here because it's inaccessible, it's impractical, there's no real concern of erasing. And certainly, there's no concern this might lead him to read stories, as we said earlier, a wall and a document are not interchangeable. Continues the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanon, we learned in the Braisa, Ksava Mahalach Tachas Atzura. This writing, this description, these words which are underneath a tzura, a form of an animal, some type of artistic depiction of an animal, Tachas Adik Nois, or underneath a artistic depiction of some type of scene of people and wars. So these titles and these descriptions also likroisa b'Shabbos. Who might not read it on Shabbos? Rashi says might lead him to read business documents. V'duyukna atzma, and this artist depiction itself, Af b'chol also, even during a weekday, also let's talk about one minute. Concentrate on it. Mishum shenema al tifnu al alilim. Don't turn to alilim. My Talmud, how do we learn it from this pasuk? Amar Avchanan al tifnu. Don't turn el midatchem to that which is within your das. Rashi says, midas levavchem mechalal shalachem, in the emptiness of your heart. Tosis actually learns that we're speaking about something which is drawn and designated for avodah zarah. The Meiri actually learns a little different. He says a person is not meant to overly concentrate on works of arts which were created by human being, lest it divert a person's mind and heart from the beauty and intricacy of Hashem's creation and wondrous world. Continues the Gemara, Mephis Adam in Bonav. Incidentally, Rav David Feinstein once told me regarding reading material on Shabbos that, halachically speaking, anything which is considered informative or educational may be read on Shabbos, as opposed to something which is really meaningless, like comics, etc., which should not be read on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Mephis Adam in Bonav. The Mishnah says, one may go ahead and throw a lottery amongst the members of his household to apportion the money, different portions of food. So he may go ahead and do it and distribute it to the members of his household. And we have a deek, an inference. This can only be done with his family, but not with strangers. In bonav, in bin beisai, in, he can do it with his family. Vim acher loy, but with strangers not. My time, what's wrong with going ahead and distributing portions among strangers? For instance, if you have a group of people who are partners, they can't go ahead and do this on Shabbos or Yom Tov. My time of what? Because Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, B'nei Chabura HaMakpidin Zeh Azeh. If you have a group of people who are inflexible, they are makpid, they're very particular, Zeh Azeh, on each other, meaning they insist on apportioning their lots, their portions, their food with precision and exactness. They can't do it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? Oyver Misham Mida. It can come to transgress Mida because they can go and measure things properly. Misham Mishkal, weighing, or Misham Minyan, on account of counting, which are things one is not meant to do on Yom Tov. These are weekday activities. Some explain this might bring him to do business transactions. So these people who are very exact in their divvying of their portions, they come to count and to measure and to weigh, on account of lending and returning the loan on Yom Tov, because he gets a bit more, he owes him back, and it's a whole business transaction. As we learned, one may not lend and return a loan on Yom Tov, as she says, the exerit he might write. So these Bnei Chabura, who are very particular and makpid, are not meant to divvy their portions, appropriate their lots, their monies of food on Yom Tov, because it can lead to all these concerns. One more concern, according to Beis Hillel, there's a concern of ribbis. Why? Because if one fellow gets more than the other, so it's like he's borrowing, and then the next time when he returns, so for the object that he returns is actually worth more than when he received it. So he returns some meat which went up in value. This is a concern of ribbis. So this can't be done with strangers. However, when it comes to members of one's household, there's no concern. Why? Says Zimor Yehachi, if this is the case, banav mnei beis nami, even amongst the members of his household, why are we not concerned about ribbis and all these other concerns? Says the Gemara, banav mnei beis, his children, the members of his household, I need time, but the reason is, because Rabbi Damarav. The Amar Rabbi Damarav, muta lahavos, banav mnei beis ribbis. One may loan the members of his family with ribbis. He gives them a smaller amount and asks more in return. Why? Kedei la'atimon tam ribbis. He's doing it to give them a taste, a bitter taste. What it means to have to pay interest, to have them lose their appetite for it, so they don't be tempted when they grow up to do ribbis with others. Let's take a look at Rashi. Second line from the top, banav bnei beis nami. So this was the kasha of the Gemara. If there are so many concerns with divvying up portions, what about family members? Lechash l'ribbis v'cholhani. Let's be concerned about ribbis and all the other concerns. The Gemara answered, the name of Rabbi Damarav, one may do ribbis with his family, lahalvis mishaloi, to lend from his own possession, banav bnei beisi are smuchim al shulchanai, who are dependent on him, the kiva and the akol mishaloi, since all is his, and kan ribbis, no ribbis. So he's giving them his own thing, he's taking back his own thing, there's nothing of theirs that is being repaid. Why is he doing it? La'atimon tam ribbis, to give them the flavor, the taste. Sheyedu kama kasha. They should realize and experience the difficulty of ribbis. So the point here is that there's no concern since it's all his anyway. Alma apparently kiven mishaloyu, since it's all his, ein kan isa ribbis. There's no isa ribbis. V'hilkach. And likewise, gabe mido mishkol minyan nami, even regarding those other concerns of measuring and weighing and counting, lav kpedu. It's not an account of particularity of kpeda, ela shvoisim leikina, he's simply trying to even them out, give them all equal portions. The Gemara says one is not meant to differentiate. Lo yilum al yishane ben ben abonim. We learned that earlier in Sechel Shabbos. One is meant to treat all his children equally with fairness. That's why he's doing it. There's no business going on here. There's no exchange. There's no lending and borrowing. He's simply doing it to be fair and square. So therefore, it doesn't appear like weekly activities, like business transactions. There's no concern. He's taking his own thing and distributing it to his family. Let's get back to the Gemara. So that explains the halacha of the Mishnah, that one can throw lotteries and divvy up the portions of food amongst the members of his family, but not among strangers. Says the Gemara, but what about the next clause in the Mishnah? He can only do it if there are even portions, but not if there are uneven portions. Why not? Iyachi, if that's the case, that it's all his anyway. Manak doila, keneged manak tananami. Even when one portion is larger in size than the other, one is a manak doila, one is a manak tana. Why can't he do that? Why can't he take the larger portion, give it to one son, the small to the other son? And actually, the Gemara will tell us, what can be a concern when we're speaking about uneven portions? The concern is, Mishum Kovya, the Gemara will say. It's a type of gambling. Because when people get together and they throw lotteries with uneven portions, and one will receive the larger, one the smaller, so it's a form of gambling. He's giving up these rights to the larger portion because he really thought initially he's going to receive the larger portion. So it's something which is not really, it's not really able to do so. He's not giving it up out of free will. It's something which he gambled upon. He figured he's going to end up winning the larger portion. So one may not engage in these activities. Says the Bible, if we're speaking about family members, in any case, it's the father's property which is being distributed. So let him do what he wants. Why can't he distribute it as he sees fit? Larger to this one, small to this one. Even that can be done. There's no concern of gambling. It's not theirs to begin with. You're right. This clause of the mission, this restriction regarding uneven portion doesn't apply to members of a household. We must learn the Mishnah as though it's missing some words. This is how we're meant to learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Mefis Adam im Bonav Vibnei Beis Al Shulchan. One may distribute his portions using a lottery amongst the members of his household. Afilu Manak Doilu, connect Manak Tana. Even a large portion with a small portion, my time, why? Kedavidam Rav. As Ravidam Rav told us, that one may do ribbis with the members of his household, as we learned earlier, to give them the taste, the bitter taste of ribbis. Likewise, here, he's distributing out even portions to give them the feeling and the taste of gambling, the bitter taste of gambling, in which case they'll be dissuaded from conducting these activities when they grow older. So this is allowed. In Bonav, Vimbine Beisei, in. This is applied to members of one's household. Im Acherim Loi, but one cannot go ahead and do this amongst strangers, as we learned earlier, members of this group, which are makpidim zemze, which are very particular and exacting with each other, they can't go ahead and distribute on Shabbos Yontov their portions. This may lead them to minyan and mishkal and midah, etc. So even portions, they can't distribute. My time, the Rida Meshmol, as we learned earlier, the concerns stated above. And the Mishnah continues. What about uneven portions? Monag doila. Keneged manak tana, that cannot even be done during an ordinary weekday. Apachoil la'acherim aser. Regarding strangers, this group who are makpid on each other, they can't even do this during an ordinary weekday. Why? My time is shum kovya, because it's a form of gambling. So he's not willingly giving up the larger portion. He's simply doing it since he figured he'll get the larger portion. So it's not really an honest way of dealing. It's similar to stealing. Therefore, that cannot be done even during Chol, during weekday, if they are distributing uneven portions. So in summary, regarding distributing portions of food, if they're even portions, money is Shabbos, it's taking place on Shabbos, amongst members of one's household, there's no concern. Among strangers who are makbid with each other, there's a concern, there's an isser. And we'll give us a whole list of midah, mishkal, measuring, weighing, counting, lending, returning a load, and more added even ribbis. Regarding uneven portions, the Gemara concluded, even during ordinary weekday, this can be a concern among strangers, which are makbid zezeh, on account of kubya, of gambling, as opposed to amongst the members of one's family, one's household, there's no concern whatsoever, it all belongs to him, in any case. Continues the Gemara. Matil and Chaloshim, the Mishnah concluded that the Kohanim would conduct their lotteries to distribute the allotment of the Karbanes, to divvy up the portions amongst the Kohanim. And the Mishnah says they can do it biyamtiv avaloi ala manis. They can't do it on manis. Manis means the portions. So what does the Mishnah mean? Mai avaloi ala manis. What does this mean? Omar Rabbi Yaakov, Brei de Bas Yaakov, he was the son of the daughter of Yaakov. He explained. Avaloi ala manis shel choyl biyamtiv. The Mishnah doesn't allow doing this procedure, this method, regarding karbanis of choyl, weekly karbanis, which were already available for distribution yesterday. So since the lottery could have been done yesterday, we can't do that on Yom Tov. As we learned earlier, there's a concern when it comes to divvying amongst people who are makbid on each other. So apparently the Chacham suspended that concern when it comes to karbanis which were brought today. We have no alternative. We have no viable choice. However, when it comes to karbanis which were available yesterday for distribution, the Chacham did not allow applying the method of lottery and distributing it on Yom Tov. Says Rav Pshita, why would I think otherwise? Of course, since you could have done it yesterday, there's no reason for the Chacham to be matir, divvying it up on Yom Tov. Says Gemara Mahu Datem, perhaps I would think, since the Pasuk says, Va'amcha kimerive koyin, your nation are like these Kohanim who are Bali Meriva, Rashi says. People who tend to fight. The Gemara in Bava Basra actually says that they are Kapdanim, the Kohanim were born with this inborn, innate nature of having kpeda, being particular, it's going to lead to fighting. So since the Kohanim have this tendency, perhaps it's very important for them to be allowed to divvy it up properly, afilu monis de chol nami, perhaps even when it comes to portions of karbanis, of weekday karbanis, perhaps the Chachamim would suspend their issa and allow it to be done on Yom Tov, kamash mla, no, this was not allowed. Continues the Gemara of Amar Biyakov, Brei de Bas Yaakov, he said another thing, kol shechaver nenesh al yadoi. Whenever a person was wronged by his friend, now his friend deserves punishment, and he brings that punishment about to his friend. He causes it. For instance, the Farshim say he davens. So he causes, he brings about the retribution to his friend. Kol shechaver nenesh al yadai. Whoever's friend receives an einish through him, he's a catalyst for that punishment. Eimachnisin oisei v'mechitzasei shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. They don't bring him into the partition with Hashem. Minalan, how do we know this? Ilema, is it because it says Mishum Dechsiv, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem announced, Mi Yifates Achav? Who is going to convince Achav, V'yal, V'yipol, B'Rames Gilad, that he should go up and fall and die in Rames Gilad? Vayomer Zebekoi, so one force, a spirit, or Malach, said, I'm going to convince him in this manner. V'zeh, Mar Bechoi, and another force, another spirit, said, I'm going to convince him in a different manner. Vayetzi Aruch. This particular specific ruach spirit came out vayamid v'nei Hashem and stood before Hashem. Vayomer announced, "Ani afatenu, I'm going to convince him." Vayomer, and he said, "Eitzei vayisi ruach sheker v'fikol neviyav." I'm going to present myself as a false spirit in the mouths of all his achav's false prophets. I'm going to lead them to falsify their prophecies and tell him to go up to this place, which eventually will lead to his death. Vayomer, Hashem told him, Tifte, v'gam, tuchal. Hashem told him, fine, tefate, go convince him, and you will be successful. Say, va'asei, chen. Go out and do this. Va'amrinan, and we learned, my ruach, who was this? What's the identity? Who was this ruach? Rabbi Yochanan, zerucha shel noves. This was the spirit of noves, who was actually killed by Achav, and now he was coming back to take revenge, and to bring him punishment. Umay tsei. What does the pasuk mean by tsei amarav? Same in Mechitzasi. Hashem told him, go out of my partition. So we see that since he was going to bring about the downfall and the punishment of Achav, he's a catalyst and a conduit for that Einish, go out of my partition. Vidilma says, well, perhaps, it's not based on this reason, there's another reason altogether. Vidilma, perhaps, Hansa, I know time, the reason there is, Tachsiv, Loi, Doivesh, Karim, Loi, Yikoin, one who speaks falsehood, cannot stand before me, cannot sustain before me. So since he was involved in falsehood, that is the reason for him to leave the Mechitza. Elo, Radha, Mehocha, this is the proof. This is the Pasuk speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, Rasha, Savata, Koloin, Mechavoid, you've been satiated with kolayin, with humiliation, with busha, with embarrassment. Mikavish segam atav oral. Drink you and the oral. So Gemara learns as follows: Savata kolayin mechavoid zed buchad netzar. She's going to be satiated, filled with humiliation and embarrassment. Segam atav oral. Drink not only you but also the oral. Who is that? Zed titkia. This is titkia, as Rashi explains that Nebuchadnezzar would engage himself in Mishka Zuchor, having relations with the men there, with the kings, and as the Gemara will explain, one of them was the king of Yisrael, Tzidkiah. So not only would Nebuchadnezzar incur punishment, but also Tzidkiah, because since Nebuchadnezzar sinned with Tzidkiah, Tzidkiah brought about, caused the einish of Nebuchadnezzar somehow, and therefore he also received punishment. So we see that Tzidkiah is also responsible, liable for the einish of Nebuchadnezzar. Says in 1 second, Chada, one thing, the kulikrob Nebuchadnezzar ksiv. The entire pasuk is actually referring to Nebuchadnezzar. There's no mention of Tzidkiah. Va'oid, in addition, Tzidkiah tzadika, mayahavali lemevat. Tzidkiah the tzadik. What alternative did he have? It wasn't his fault. Why is he held responsible? What could he have done? Mayahavali lemevat. What could he have done it to prevent from the avera? So he's not at fault. Why would you consider him responsible for the einish, which was befalling Nebuchadnezzar? The Amar of Yudam Arav, B'shoh Shabikesh Oisei Rasha, Lasis Loitze Tzadikach. At the moment that this Rasha wanted to, due to the Tzadik Tzidkiah, he wanted to approach him and engage him in Avera, V'chulu. The Gemara someone would describe that his Erla skin actually grew and he became very disgusting looking, Nebuchadnezzar. Explains Rashi, apparently since we refer to Tzidkiah as a tzaddik here, he's perfectly righteous. He's not responsible in any way. He's not held accountable in any way for the aver and the einish which befell Nebuchadnezzar. So apparently, our interpretation of this pasuk is wrong. When the pasuk says, Shsei gam ata vehei orel, that's the exact nekuda, the vehei orel, it's not referring to vehei orel, also Tzidkiah. Means behei ha'arel, loshan nifal. It's all speaking about Nebuchadnezzar. You will become arlo, you will become disgusting looking. Only he will be punished, not Tzidkiah. Says the Gemara Elmach. Rather, we have another proof for the concept that we're trying to prove that if one brings about a punishment to somebody else, he is also held accountable. Elmach from here. Gam anoish, let tzaddik loy toiv. When a tzaddik brings about an einish to somebody else, loy toiv, it's not good. And the Gemara says, "Ein loy toiv el ra." When loy toiv is said, what does that mean? Ra means bad. And the other pasuk says, "Uksiv ki loy kel chavetz reshaato." You Hashem are not one who desires resha, wickedness. Lo yogur chara, ra won't live with you. Tzadik ata Hashem v'lo yogur b'megur chara. You are a tzadik Hashem, and in your domain won't live ra. So the fact that a person brings about an einish on somebody else, that's loy toiv, as we just said. If somebody brings about an einish, it's loy toiv, it's ra. So he's considered to be a ra, and he can't live with Hashem. Continues the Gemara. My mashma dai chaloshim. How do we know that the word chaloshim is stated in reference to lotteries? As we discussed earlier, the lashon of the Mishnah, matil chaloshim, referring to throwing lotteries. Where do we find that the word chaloshim refers to a lottery? My mashma dai chaloshim lishna de puru. Where do we find that it's a lashon of a girl? As we find in Megillas Esther, poor is girl. Dechsiv, as it says in the pasuk again regarding the Nebuchadnezzar, when he when he experiences downfall. Eich nafalta mishamayim, how did you fall down from heaven? Hil ben shachar, nigdata l'aretz, down to the ground. Choylish al goyim. One who is choylish, he throws lotteries on the goyim. Amar Rabba bar Rafuna Malamed. This teaches us Shayamatal Pur, he would throw a lottery. Al Gdoyle Malchus, on these kings. Leida Eze ben Yoimai, to know which is the specific day, his day, Shomishkav Zachar, for this specific king to engage in this relations with Nebuchadnezzar. So the word Choylish here is a reference to throwing a lottery. Uksiv, and it says after the death of Nebuchadnezzar, that all the kings sighed a sigh of relief. Kol malchei goyim kulam shach v'bachavid ish v'beisoy Amar Rav Yochanan shenachu v'mishkav zachor. So they relaxed and they had a rest from this terrible experience of mishkav zachor with Nebuchadnezzar. From Rav Yochanan, kol yomar shal eser rasha, all the days of that rasha Nebuchadnezzar, lo nimtza schoik v'peh kol bria. No laughter was found in the mouth of all any of the creations. Shenemar nocham Shakta, Kalaaretz, Patzchorina, so the whole land quieted down and rested and broke out in song. Mechalal, apparently not hashtag, but until now, Laverina, there was no song. Varam Yitzchon, Rabbi Yechanan, Osho Lamoid, Beveshish, Osho Rasha. One may not stand, be present in the home of Nebuchadnezzar, even nowadays. Shenemar, Usiirim, Yirak, Dusham. Seirim is referring to demons, Shadim. They are meant to dance around there. And if a person shows up, did this Seirim run away? And he's nullifying the Gzer of Hashem, who wants specifically to have Shadim inhabit this fellow's home. This is going back to the description earlier, when this Russian Nebuchadnezzar desired to do the Avera with Tzadik Tzidkia, what happened? Nimshecha Arlasa, the Arla skin of Nebuchadnezzar, extended shloish meis amma for 300 amma bahoya machazeres al kol masiba kula, and it was making its rounds amongst all the members of the banquet there. Shanema savata kol mechavoid segam atave orel, and orel is the gematria shloish meis havi. The word orel, its numerical value is 300, and that is what the pasuk is describing. Savata kol mechavoid, you were satiated and filled with shame and embarrassment as a result of this experience. When this Rosh Nebuchadnezzar descended to Gehenim, Roshu, kol yorde Gehenim, all the residents of Gehenim were petrified. Amru, they said, Shema limshu aleim uba, perhaps he's coming to rule on us as well. Or perhaps he's coming to experience Gehenim with us, to get sick and experience the pain of Gehenim. Which one is it? Is he coming to suffer, or is he coming to rule? Shenemar, as it says, ki gam ato chuleisa chamoinu eilenu nimshalta. So is it chuleisa, you coming to get sick with us, to suffer, or is it nimshalta, to rule? Yotza sabaskol v'amr, a heavenly voice came out and said, mimina amta, from whom are you experiencing a pleasantness? Redeim v'rado v'heshkevo es arelim. Go down and lie with the arelim, meaning you can't rule over them. You're going to experience the bitterness of Gehenna with them. The pasuk says, "Eich shavas noiges shavsa matheva." This is speaking when Bava lost its authority. So shavas noiges means the noiges, the tormentor of Bavel, shavas. It ceased to rule. Shavsa matheva. Matheva is referring to Bava. The Gemara will explain why. Shavsa, it also ceased to have authority to rule. Amra Vidamara, Shavsa, Umazu, this nation ceased to have authority. Sha'amra, Medoid Vahave. Mateva here is a joint word. Medoid Vahave, they used to say, measure up your money and your golden coins and bring and bring. So this is Bavel, and they ceased to have the authority and ceased to exist. Because Amri, some have a different interpretation. Mateva, he means Sha'amra, who said, Ma'oid Ma'oid Vahave, lots of lots, bring to me lots of money, lots of treasures. Beloy Mida, without measure. Bring limitless amount of supplies and money to me. One more pasuk describing Nebuchadnezzar, he said on himself, "V'ravu yatira husfasli." This additional authority was added to me. Amar Bido Marav Yirmi Ba'aba Malami. This teaches us Shirochav al Rizachar. He took a ride on a male lion, the kosher tanin b'roishay, and he tied up this large snake on its head to use as a saddle. L'kayimesh nemar, to fulfill the words of the pasuk v'gamas chayes asoda nosati loy lo'avdoi. Hashem says, also the animals I have given to him, I have granted to serve him. Let's take a look at Rashi on top here. Medoid mois v'din rezov ahave, so they would announce, bring all its treasures. And Nebuchadnezzar says, v'rabu yisir usvasli, describes Rashi the context of this pasuk. La'achar shahi zayin shana behema, if the Nebuchadnezzar spent 7 years like a behema, v'chazal machusak, he was reinstated to his kingdom, he would praise himself in this manner, omawat esefes, what was this additional authority that he had? Shakosha tanan godoil, nochash god, a large snake, b'reishish lari, on the head of a lion, k'min afsar, like a saddle. So he was granted this immense authority, and as we know, he abused the authority, and he suffered a great downfall as a result. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. The Mishnah told us, one may read a guest list or a menu simply using his mouth, but not from a written, not from a ksav. The Mishnah gives us two reasons. Perhaps he'll erase, perhaps this might lead him to read business documents. The Mishnah told us, if it's on a wall, there's a concern of erasure, but no concern of it being confused with documents. If it's engraved, for instance, on a tablet, there's no concern of erasing, but there is a concern of it leading to reading business documents. If it's written up, using ink, up high on a wall, according to one sheet of the Gemara, according to our Bibi, there's a concern there as well of erasing, even though practically speaking, there's no concern. The Chacham applied their Isser universally without differentiating between circumstances, according to Abayi. Since, practically speaking, there's no concern that he's going to climb up and erase it, therefore, it would be mutter. And certainly there's no concern this might lead him to read documents because a wall is so dissimilar to a document. The Gemara told us that this concept of whether the Chacham applied there is so universally without taking the practical conditions into consideration is actually Machlokes Tanoim, and it applies to using this metal mirror as well, according to Tanakama. One may not use it under all circumstances. He might use it to snip off hair, according to Ramei, if it's affixed to a wall, in which case there's no concern of using it as a trimmer. There's no Isser. The Gemara continued regarding divvying up portions of food amongst the members of one's household. There's no concern whatsoever. Amongst the Bnei Chabura, which are makbid on each other, very particular, and they need their portions divvied with exactness and precision, then on Shabbos you can't even do it if it's even portions, because it can lead to measuring, counting, weighing, lending, and even ribbis. When they are uneven portions, the Gemara told us, even during weekdays, they can't do that because it is connected to the Isser of gambling, Mishum Kovya. We learned that Kohanim may divvy up their Karbanis using a lottery system, provided these are Yom Tov Karbanis, as opposed to Karbanis which were available for distribution before Yom Tov. And we concluded that one must make sure not to bring about punishment upon somebody else. This way, he ensures that he will be able to live within the Mechitza with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.